everybody. Welcome to the Women's Dating and Confidence Podcast. My name is Amber, and today I'm going to be sharing an interview that I did with my auntie Tanya. She recently got married 1 year ago, and she has some really great insights about dating and relationships that I wanted to share with you all. Before we get into that, I want to share my free guide called Copy and Paste Texts for When He's Pulling Away or Acting Flaky. The link for that is going to be in the show notes of this episode. Also, just want to acknowledge my voice is very raspy right now. So I traveled to the East Coast to visit my aunt, and now I'm in Switzerland to visit my other family. I'm staying with my brother here. And every time I traveled, I got sick. Like, I got sick once I got into North Carolina, and then I got sick again, like always 2 days after flying. So I think my body really doesn't like the jet lag and not sleeping and delays and stress. And it was so crazy. I lost my baggage, like all of this stuff. So I think my body was just not okay with that. So anyways, I feel better now, but my voice is still gone, which is why I'll be sharing an interview and not a solo episode. Anyways, I also wanted to make sure that you know we are enrolling for the next cohort of From Dating to Exclusive in September, and then we're going to get started in October. So From Dating to Exclusive is my coaching program where you get group coaching sessions with the other women who are just like you, growth-minded, and also wanting to learn the skills of dating and relationships. And you can ask questions in the group. And then we also have one-on-one sessions, as well as a curriculum, a workbook, a course that we follow. So you can really create this foundation for skills in dating that lead you from dating to exclusive. So that's such a small part of dating, but it's where I see the most challenges. And so much in the dynamic there can influence whether we create an exclusive relationship or whether we keep creating casual connections, dead-end connections, situationships, or otherwise things that don't lead to something more serious, committed with a container. So if you feel like you've been dating a long time and you're just not getting to that next step of actually moving things forward in your connections, this is the program for you. We also cover other things, of course, like dating anxiety, online dating, meeting men in person. It's everything that goes into going from dating to exclusive, starting with your mindset and being fulfilled in life, then into how to meet people, and then the dating dynamics that actually lead you to an exclusive connection. So you can learn a lot more if you go to the link in the show notes, and there's all the information there. And then you can get on the wait list, which I highly recommend because you'll be able to get the early bird discount. So you'll be able to enroll in advance. And it's the best way to secure your spot because the last program sold out. So if you want to make sure that you can get in the program, the waitlist is the best way to do it because you get early access. Okay, so that's the end of my voice. I think it's going out. So let's get into the interview for today. I just love how comfortable you're getting for this interview. Minute one, put a leg up.
Sweats. One. Leg up. Oh, I have to be formal?
No.
Okay. It's just a conversation. That's what I used to tell people when I interview them. They'd be so nervous, like, oh, like for a job. Yes. And I said, just think of it as conversation between friends.
Yes. Like, that's what it is.
Thank you.
Okay. So it can be like, usually with clients, I'll schedule the hour, but it's always less than that. Like, mm-hmm. Up to 40 minutes or something.
Okay.
But could be less as well. So don't be offended if it's 30 minutes.
Okay. 15 minutes cut.
Yes. What? Pull down the curtain.
That reminds me. Auntie Kim taught kindergarten at one point in New Jersey. And she's like, oh, we have a guest speaker. She's going to read to the class. And I was like, terrible. I was like, okay. I'm turning the pages. And one of the kids said, can we read to ourselves now? And I said, sure. And Kim's like, they can't leave. She's like, what? They can't.
Like, wasn't that how bad? Desperate they were.
Yeah, like that just reminded me, don't get offended, but it's over 20 minutes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, you're my auntie.
I am.
And you are now married.
I am.
You got married last year. So let's talk. You have very, just every once in a while, you'll pepper in something very wise about dating and relationships. So I want to share that with the people of the podcast as well.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. So, tell me a little bit about what, well, first of all, what's your age?
I'm 52.
And what's your height?
I'm 5'7". Is the waist coming next? Don't you know you're not supposed to ask a woman these things?
So tell me about dating before you met your husband.
Dating before I met Mark was fun. I met a lot of really good guys, but I knew that I wouldn't want to be with them for marriage for long term. And you were the one who actually helped me get to that realization. Sometimes I would think, is this someone I could marry? And I'd go on dates, I'd go on one date and after another. And he said, Auntie Tanya, don't worry about if this is someone you want to marry. Just see if this is someone you'd want to go on a second date with. So dating, it became fun.
Yeah. So, and that was part of your thought process when you met Mark as well.
It was. Yeah. It was totally my thought process. I met him online and I went on the first date with him. We met for coffee and immediately I knew this is someone I'd want to go on a second date with. I didn't think this is someone I'm going to marry.
So so highlights of dating were meeting a lot of good people and having fun and having like dates that you were excited about. What were some of the challenges that you faced in the dating process before you knew that you were about to get married?
Some of the challenges, I suppose, was not knowing exactly what I wanted. I thought I knew what I wanted, and someone said, I don't know who I should attribute this quote to, but
we have to explain that. Okay, time out.
Okay.
I've been here a week visiting my aunt in North Carolina. And I have a note in my phone with all the funny things she says all of the time. And one of them was your very wise quote. What did you tell me?
I said, you know what I believe? I believe if something doesn't work out at the end, it's not the end yet. And you said...
I was like silent for a second. No, you said, well, you know what I always say.
That's right.
If it's not good, it's not the end, or whatever that quote is. And I was like silent. And I was like, oh, I like how you just like
pretended that was your original thought. I'm like, it is. And you're like, I Googled it. It's John Lennon.
Or some other famous person.
That was funny.
So we have to fact check all of her quotes for the podcast. Okay, what was the inspired quote you're about to share?
Lost my train of thought.
Okay, well, what else was challenging about dating? Like, how confident did you feel Because you found your person later in life.
I did.
So how was that experience for you? Like, how confident did you feel throughout your life that you were still going to meet your person?
I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I felt.
Really?
That I was going to meet a husband. I think I have a very spiritual background, and I believe that thought was put in me that I'd meet my husband, and I don't believe my higher power, God, would have planted that thought if he wasn't going to manifest it. Mm. So I always knew. I didn't know when, but I truly felt eventually I'd meet my husband.
That's really amazing. So there's a coach I follow. Her name's Brooke Castillo. Mm. And she talks about that in a different way. She says, like, your desires are your compass. Mm. So if you have a desire for something, it inherently means that you can have that. And yes, you can create it. And it's, like, possible for you. And it's the direction you should be heading towards. There is something, like, innate about the desire. And I think that's good for people to hear. Because sometimes I have clients who are, like, 32 or even younger. Like, I had, like, a client who's, like, 25, and she was like, will I ever? I was like, give it 20 years.
Yes.
Okay. So that probably also helped with the having fun during
dating. It did. And it was like going on a job interview. It was like a numbers game. The more interviews you go on, the closer you're getting to landing the job.
Yes. Or the closer he's getting to
landing exactly.
Okay. So then you met Mark.
I did.
When and how did you know he was the one? Because you didn't know the first date.
I did not know the first date. What I knew the first date was I'd want to go on a second date. Mm-hmm. But from the first date, I knew that this person was the caliber of person I'd want to be a lifelong friend with. Mm. Just our foundation was so solid throughout. During our whole first date, we laughed, we connected. It was so easy. He was so cute. It was cute how nervous he was. And I thought that was funny. And it was just really easy.
Yeah. So when does it, like, transform into, like, this is my person? Like, how long did that take to know?
2 weeks.
What?
It was about 2 weeks. It was about 2 weeks. We spoke for hours each night. I think he told me he was going to marry me within no more than 3 weeks.
And
we knew.
What did you think about that?
I knew it too. And I wish I could refer to some text from the beginning, because it was just so, I just knew this was the person. I'm sorry. I'm just flashing back, and all the boxes. I don't even want to say all the boxes checked, because they didn't.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
What's the difference between knowing someone's the one versus what were the boxes that weren't checked that you thought you would need to be checked for the one, right? Because we have our list, our on paper list, versus meeting someone and the connection is just right. So what are some of the boxes that you thought you needed checked that actually in the end you didn't?
Some of those are too private to share. Okay. But what I can tell you is that about 8 years before meeting my husband, I had written a journal, and it was clear as day what I wanted. It was a journal to God, and I was just pouring my heart out. I said, you know, I'm however old I was, and the desire in my heart is to get married, but each passing year, I think it's not going to happen. And I said, Lord, hear my prayer. This is what I'm looking for in a man. And everything in that journal entry Mark possesses. But there were some things I didn't write down, so I didn't get those things. But everything that was written on that paper is the personification of Mark.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been here for a week.
Yeah.
And I think you asked me, like, oh, what do you think about
us? You're my guru. You're my guru.
And so some things that I picked up on were you're both very affectionate with each other. Mm-hmm. You're always speaking kindly to each other and respectfully. Mm. And one thing I noticed about him is he, without asking, takes care of things. Mm. Like, he contributes to the household.
Yes.
And your mom lives with you too and, yes, like, helping take care of her. Which I just picked up on that because I know that for women, and also a cause of strain in relationships, can be when the cognitive and physical load of the household falls on women. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a quality about him that stood out as well. And you guys laugh and you have fun.
We do.
And you flirt.
Do we really?
Yes.
Yeah. But one thing I guess, in summation, we're just, he's a partner. We're truly partners.
Yes.
That's what I can honestly say about him. Mm-hmm. Where I am, I don't want to say deficient, mm-hmm, but lacking, he picks it up and he runs with it. Mm-hmm. And areas where he needs assistance, I think I have his back and I'm there.
Yeah.
Just as much.
Yeah. And so I already asked you this question before, but how is being married different than what you thought, or is it exactly how you thought it would be?
It's exceedingly abundantly above anything I could have asked or think. It is so much better than I could have imagined. It is so much better. It's just... dating, don't get me wrong, I had fun. But being married, I feel so settled. I feel... he completes me. I don't want to say that. But I just feel so... like the book is continuing to evolve. And this is a part... this is a chapter that needed to be in the book.
Mm, yeah. So we were hanging out with different people.
Mm.
And
did you have fun?
I had such a great
time. Good. Thank you so much.
And so twice it came up where, mm, we were hanging out with different couples or people who are married, and we were talking about relationships, and both of these people, so one couple, I asked them, what's the key to being married? They were married like how long?
20 years. Yeah.
What's the key? And they're super happily married.
Yes.
And they said, it's hard work.
That's the cliche. That's the go-to, yeah,
it's
isn't it?
Hard work. And then also another person said, like, oh, it's hard work. And we were in the car. We're like, no, it's not.
I know.
So what is your thought on it's hard work?
I know. I don't get that. I don't get that. Yeah. I think any relationship takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
Friendships take effort, but I'm not understanding where this hard work cliche stems from. I think if your foundation is strong and it's built on friendship, trust, communication, laughter, love, what else? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that gets people tripped up then, because then they're in a hard relationship, but they hear that thought over and over, yeah, from people. Relationship, take hard work, hard work. And you think, okay, well, I guess this is what it is to be in a relationship. It's really hard. I'm having a really terrible time.
No, but even like, I have a sister and we're very close, but even any relationship, you have to like reach out and ask the other person what's going on with them and communicate. And
yeah, but you can like decide if you want to see that as hard work.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, there was an episode I did a long time ago. Mm. It's called You Are Not a Chore.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And it was about a friend of mine who was dating this guy who was treating her that way. Like the little things like reaching out or even being thoughtful and gifts and all those things. And acting like that was a chore to get done. Like, oh, mom's asking me to do the dishes.
Exactly.
And so I think a lot of people
perceive that.
Yes. And that's like the hard work of the relationship. But then, so with one of the people we inquired, we're like, what are you talking about? Like, what does that even mean? Hard work. Like, and that person is also super happy in their marriage.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, well, you know, I have to clean the kitchen. It was like, what? Like, okay, so the relationship isn't hard work, like managing a household or like, you know, there's like literal work that you're doing, but your relationship is like, oh no, I love spending time with him. It's so great. I enjoy his company so much. So that's like, we want to hear more of that.
Yeah. No, no, yeah. I don't get that hard work piece.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the other thing somebody said was, well, if you want a perfect partner, you have to be perfect. And I said, done. Like, yes, absolutely.
Here I am, complete. Right? Exactly.
But so, yeah, we also kind of make space for people to be imperfect. But that's also not always hard work.
No.
The same with any friend. Like, think about your easiest friendship.
Mm.
That's how it can be in a relationship, I think. Do you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly. It's true.
Good. You're not allowed to disagree in this podcast.
Yeah, no, it's just, it takes effort with everything, but it's not hard.
Yeah. So what is your best dating advice for single women who are like, yeah, I wrote the list. Where is he?
Okay. Here's another quote. It's not an original. If you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Yes.
They're very common.
That's the definition of insanity.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So maybe throw away that list because where's it gotten you so far?
Right. Yeah. So you also mentioned to me you felt that you had to evolve in certain ways to be ready for this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How did you have to evolve?
I had to, well, there were a few things. I think the first thing is I had to learn to be less selfish because in a relationship and marriage, you have to, it's a give and take. It's not all about me. So
it's a hard adjustment.
It is. So I had to learn to be less selfish, more attentive to the needs of my partner. I've been single for a long time. I met Mark later in life, so I was set in a lot of my ways. So I think I had to learn to be a little more flexible.
Hmm. Like, what is one thing you had to be more flexible about?
One thing I had to be a little bit more flexible about is how I spend my time. Mm-hmm. Like, my husband loves, and when we were dating, I told him I love football, too. I do love football. Well, maybe love is too strong a word. I enjoy football.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, we were at, it was around when these people were over this weekend. Mm. Were you there at the table when they said one thing he learned about me that he didn't know before? And he said, well, Tanya doesn't love football as much as she would. I was like, what do you mean? I love football. He's like, you never watch a game with me. So I just had to be more flexible with how I spend my time.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to watch football games. So at times, instead of doing whatever I am doing that can wait, I could spend time and watch a game with him. So I'm learning to be more flexible.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think I mean, at least for me, that applies.
Really?
Because I think I can be very rigid. Mm. Like, I need my me time. It's like, no, I'm doing like this now.
Right.
And I already planned it. So
that's notice, it.
Yeah.
You have to watch again by yourself.
Yes. Okay. That's really good. So wait, I also lost where we were going. The best dating advice. Oh, okay. So you had to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And then letting go of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn to be more flexible and less selfish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what have you learned about yourself since being in a relationship or being married?
You attract who you are.
What does that mean?
You attract who you are. So if you are loving, kind, this is just one woman's opinion. If you're loving, kind, that's who you're going to attract.
Okay. That's funny because you're both.
We attract each other. Yeah.
You're so similar in so many ways.
We are, right?
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you took physics, didn't you?
Yeah, took it.
I never
whether
took
I passed
it.
I didn't it or take not, it, but that's I think another
it's
story.
One of the signs is likeness attracts likeness, Adams. I think that's physics.
Yeah, like attracts like manifestation.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, you attract who you are, and the qualities that Mark finds attractive about me, he possesses too.
Mm, yeah. You guys are very similar with like music, with valuing family,
mm-hmm.
with not liking cuss words.
Yeah. Can I say that on the podcast?
Yes. With not listening to this new rap.
Yeah. It was so funny. Remember when you said, anytime I'm with you, I feel like I'm in a time capsule. This type of music you listen to. I truly felt meant old. I was like, wow.
I truly meant it as a compliment.
Okay.
Like I'm in a retro restaurant where they have a jukebox.
Quit. Stop. All right, honey.
Okay, is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners?
Before I was married, I dated a long time, and you, Amber Grubenman, were instrumental in helping me through the process. I was going through, it was about 5 years ago when I thought I was going to marry somebody else, and you gave me a coaching session. Do you even remember that?
No.
Yeah. And you emailed me, and we had a coaching session, an hour session, and I read that. Yeah, I think it was about 5 years ago. And I was like, wow. It was...
So I sent like a review to you or something after.
Yes, you sent me a review. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could find that.
I have it.
You do? Wait, yeah. I probably... Well, I want to pull it up now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. Oh my gosh.
You see it?
Yeah.
See? Look at it.
Oh my gosh. I literally totally forgot we did this.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I read it?
You sure can.
Okay. Here's a review of our coaching session. If you
What's the year, sweetheart?
This is 2018.
Okay.
If you were in the future, 1 year from now, you could look back and say you got everything you wanted in your dating life. What would that look like? You would have found your soulmate. He would be kind and attentive. He would be sensitive and generous. He would be good looking. He would be respectful, and he would adore you. So those were your answers to that question.
Isn't that Mark?
Yes. You said you believe the one thing holding you back was yourself and this other man. You said you feel like you need to be more open to meeting people and be less picky. that guy is still often on your mind, and you fantasize about recreating what you once had, even though logically you know it's not possible. He said your main challenge was being a challenge. And when I asked you what you meant by that, you said not being available all the time, having your own life, not just waiting around and being independent. And the solution to this is having and sticking to your standards. Your standards are the challenge. I had you write down all the pain you would continue to experience and lost opportunity as a result of not having standards. Blah, 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 blah. And if you did have the courage to create and maintain standards, you would attract a life partner, have very high self-esteem, be full of positive energy, feel powerful and confident. When you did this exercise, you saw the reality of the results you will create in your life if you don't uphold high standards. One thing that gets in the way of this is not believing it is possible to meet somebody that embodies those traits that are so important to you. But respectful, attractive, kind, generous, those are the traits that are a must. Very often, the reason we keep attracting and dating men who are not up to our standards is because we never set them in the first place. Our standards bring out the best in men. They help us stop investing time and energy in men who are not willing to meet those standards. The guy you described wants a woman who is comfortable being single until she meets the guy who is willing to uphold these standards. He wants to convince you to leave your single life, not save you from it. First of all, I'm so sweaty.
You said turn off the AC. It's been so loud.
And second thoughts. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot I sent this to you.
Yes.
Oh, and then I remember I did one with your friend as well, and I sent her that. So this was back when I was still using like a lot of the thoughts from Matthew Hussey, which were like super foundational for me as well. And I love his book. But that is so cool to see.
How it's called. Yeah. How it's evolved.
Yeah. And it's so cool to see the like original list of future you, right? And it's like, you have found your soulmate. He's kind and attentive, sensitive and generous, good looking, respectful, and he adores you. He does adore you.
Thank you.
Yay, that's exciting. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
My guru. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for reminding me of that.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to share with the listeners of the podcast?
Just thanks for taking the time to listen to us. Keep your goal in mind. Stay encouraged. And thank you.